If you see folks walk in the building with yellow t-shirts that say construction crew, those are the folks that made this a most successful, memorable vacation Bible school. So just let's give them a hand right now. We had an average attendance of 437 for the week, and we gave 3.5 pallets of paper goods to Christian Community Action. Most important, though, we brought in 279 pounds of hard money, which means no paper bills, mainly pennies. And I do have a sense of gratitude for those who are going to be counting those pennies in the coming days. But don't know how much that offering will be that's going to go to local food banks, but it could well be, if it's like times past, well over between $1,500 and $2,000. We had a decision service on Wednesday for our older children, and 34 of those children made commitments either to ask Christ into their life, to want to know more about it, or to want to visit with the church where they attend, because we had many guests. So that's just a snapshot of what happened this week. We're thinking of one word in these days, and the word is pray. I want to remind those who have young children that we have some prayer materials for you that are right out here in the Faith at Home Center in the main atrium. It's never too late to emphasize to those in your household the importance of prayer. So I ask you and invite you to go and to pick up those materials that will help you build those habits of prayer in the life of your own family. I have a file cabinet back in my study that has the sermon outline for every service since 1993. I'll look through those from time to time and realize some of those sermon outlines were pitiful. You know, it's my fault. Some of those sermon outlines, I think, were okay. A few of them I would label as good. And a few of them, I would say, it's worth bringing them out again. So from time to time in these next months, I'm going to reach back and pull up some sermon thoughts that were from years ago. Case in point is today. What I want to share with you is an outline that I shared with our congregation on January the 31st, 1999. It was thinking, as best I remember from the notes I took, it was thinking about resolutions for a new year as we were coming, beginning a new year there, barely several weeks into it. We didn't have this room back then in 1999. Of course, we didn't have our children's area either. So we were down in what I would call phase one. We had multiple services in what we call the fellowship hall now. But it was on that Sunday that we talked about prayer. And it came from the book of the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13, where Peter says these words, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus the Christ." I think not hidden in a sense that God is trying to trick us to where we won't see the truth. But I think if we look carefully at this verse, as we could many others in Scripture, we're going to find that there is a process to prayer. I'm not trying to make you think that it's got to be mechanical. Sometimes prayers are just that. We get used to certain phrases. We get used to speaking in terms that we wouldn't say in casual conversation. And remember, prayer is talking to God about anything, anytime, anywhere. But sometimes we take prayer and we make it something that is almost by rote. It's almost mechanical. When I say process of prayer, I'm saying that every time you face an issue that calls for prayer, and that should be many, many decisions each and every day that you live, that there is an attitude, there is a progression of how it should be prayed, how communication with God should happen. I want us to look briefly at those steps in that process this morning that are lifted out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. When you and I face an issue in life, when we're facing a time where we're called to pray, we need to remember that as we pray, what we're really doing is we're committing our lives to God. So the idea of commitment, of commit, is what we're talking about. He says in that passage, prepare your minds for action. When we bow our heads, when we pray for others, when we pray for certain issues in our own lives, it has to begin, it has to carry all the way through the idea of commitment to God. In other words, we're not praying and giving things to God and then immediately walking back on those commitments. But is that not what we do much of the time? I go to the dentist twice a year. That's way too many times as far as I'm concerned. Not really. My brother-in-law was my dentist for over 40 years, and I have a local dentist here. And I had to go in a few weeks ago, and they think I had a cavity. I'm not sure if I did, but they had to do a little work and fill in some areas where it could have caused me problems down the road. So what was I to do? I had to show up on time. I had to bring my insurance papers, whatever. And then when I walked into the operatory, there was a lounge chair, if you will, a dental chair. And I had to sit down, bring my legs over, let him lean me back. Then I had to obey his command to open my mouth. And as sure as I opened my mouth, he started talking to me, asking me questions like I was going to be able to answer him. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but that's the way it went. But what if I'd gone in and offered to, let me have that syringe, Mr. Dentist, and I'll just provide the anesthesia myself because I trust my hands more than yours. Or if I said, I'm just going to take that drill and I'm going to work on that spot that you said needed attention and I'll just use the drill myself. Well, the dentist probably wouldn't laugh. He would just say, excuse me. That's not the way we do things around here. I'm the dentist. You're the patient. And if you're going to get anything out of this visit, you're going to have to, he didn't use the word commit, but that's what he meant. We say, God, help us. But by the way, Lord, I've got an answer for this. By the way, Lord, I think that if I'll just step back and head in this other direction, that I'll have success. So we pray, but we don't commit. You know, there's a joke about commitment. It's about that plate of bacon and eggs. Bacon and eggs for the chicken is just something that the chicken does, lays eggs. Bacon and eggs for the pig is a much bigger commitment. We commit when we pray. Or do we say, Lord, we want your help. Lord, we trust in you. But yet, we back off of that commitment. So in the process of prayer, when we pray, never forget that what we're really supposed to be doing is committing our lives, our actions, each and everything focused on what those prayer requests are. They must include commitment. But there's a second part of this process, and it's there in 1 Peter 1:13, where he says, prepare your minds for action, that is commit. He says, keep sober in spirit. Keep sober. When we hear sober today, we think of something to do with being inebriated, with alcohol, whatever, getting help, you know, sober up. But that's not what this word means in the original context that Peter wrote it. What he really was talking about in being sober was to be self-controlled. To be self-controlled. So when we think of that, the word that comes to my mind is to trust. To trust. If we are serious about whatever it is we're praying, and we understand that that means we must commit, then that's followed up with being self-controlled in all things. And the best way to make that happen is to depend upon God, to trust in Him. But yet, when we come to the idea of trusting God, many times we do everything but. The best way to look at trust, based upon just about every instance that we find it in both the Old and the New Testament, is to look at it in terms of we depend upon God when we've run out of all other options. In other words, we're depending upon God because we have no other plan. Most of us would never pray like that. We pray with plan B in our minds. We pray with the idea that just in case God doesn't answer the prayer we want, we have an opportunity and we have a way to make things happen the way we intend them to happen. But trust is a dependence upon God that means that we trust Him to the point to where if He doesn't respond to us, we fail. Now, think of that in terms of the prayers that you pray, of the issues in your life, of asking God and saying, I will commit my life to You. I commit everything about me to You in this prayer. But do I really trust You? Because if I've got an alternate plan, if I've got some backup, then am I really trusting You at all? And the answer, of course, would be no. The writer of 1 Peter, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober, self-controlled in spirit. And then he says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revealing, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your hope. It's a matter of focus. Maddie Peterman, I asked you to help me. If you would just get up from where you are and walk this way, please. This is Maddie. Let's give her a hand as she comes up here. Maddie, you're my friend, right? You're my friend. You don't have to like, I'm not going to strike you or do anything. I'm here to, if you'll kind of turn out this way. There you go. All right. I'm going to ask Maddie to do something for me. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, this is what I want you to do. I want your right eye to look over there. And I want your left eye to look over here. Okay, I think your mom and dad or your mom and sister are up here on this side somewhere. So anyway, when I count to three, your right eye is going to go that way and your left eye is going to go that way. You ready? You ready? Okay. One, two, three. Can't do it, can you? No. You can't do it because it's impossible to focus on two extremes at the same time, right? Okay. You look like you're smiling, but you look like you want to hit me. No. Okay. Okay. Really? It's impossible, and you just proved the point, that it's impossible for us to have vision that will go extremes. Now, once again, if we're both looking down the middle, you know, we can kind of see what's going on out there, and I can see a little bit of what's going on left and right, but if it comes to focusing on extremes, there's no way. Give me a fist bump. Thank you very much. I probably just lost a friend for the rest of my life. Split vision, physically impossible. Split vision in the spiritual realm, always a possibility. See, Jesus tried to help us when he said these words in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Seek first. It's a matter of focus. But how many times when we're praying, do we understand that commitment is part of it? How many times when we pray, we understand that trusting is part of it? But how many times when we pray, do we move through commitment? We move through trusting, but yet when it comes to focus, we're scattered. Because we're drawn to this extreme, or we're drawn to this extreme. And it's impossible. Our focus must be in one direction. Now, once again, that means you choose what your focus is or who your focus is. You and I have the opportunity to choose our point of focus. So where does that leave us when it comes to prayer? Lord, I commit. Lord, I trust. But Lord, when it comes to focus, this is so important to me over here. Whereas what God wants us to do is over in this direction. And it's always leading to trouble when we try to serve two masters, when we try to focus on extremes. It's impossible to maintain. Commitment, trusting, a matter of focus. And then there's a matter of rest. There's a matter of what commitment and trusting and focus really is all about. When I say rest, I'm not talking about going to sleep. I'm not talking about a cessation, quitting work. I'm talking about when we rest, we give it to God. When we rest, we wait upon Him. And if there's any part of the process of prayer that is the hardest for, I guess I'll just have to say for me, I can only speak for myself. Maybe you're with me on this. Maybe it's not an issue for you. But the issues of life, the prayers that I offer, as sincere as they possibly can be, many times, are those prayers that I will refuse to leave with God. He tells us to rest. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust Him through your doubt, He will surely bring you out. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. As we pray, let's not forget to commit. As we pray, let us not lose sight of what it means to trust. As we pray, let's maintain focus. As we pray, let's rest in the arms of the one who created us, who knows what's best for us, the one who is willing to lead us. That's the prayer that counts. Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to pull aside, to consider what it means to pray. Not just around the table, but to pray at all times. And to pray through the trouble and the tragedy. So, Father, we ask you to teach us how to pray. We ask you as we look into your word to help us remember the process, the steps of prayer. And Father, just simply help us to see in these days of uncertainty, in these days of trouble, that you are a constant. Father, it's all these things and more that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, we wrap up every hour that we meet doing the same thing. Acknowledging that God has spoken, and I hope he's spoken to you today. But acknowledging that when God speaks, he gives us an opportunity to respond. And so we have a time toward the end of our hour right now where we ask ourselves to focus, to make choices. It could be that there's someone in this very room and you've yet to say yes to the claim of Jesus upon your life. You've yet to cross that line of faith to become a follower of Jesus. We would implore you and encourage you to consider that choice, because it is a choice. And if there's a way that we can help you, if we can pray with you or for you, we certainly want to be there to do that. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, just never told anyone, never publicly said to the world by telling a congregation that you love the Lord and are following him. Maybe you've yet to follow him in steps of obedience, symbolic acts like believer's baptism. If that's a question upon your mind, let's find a time to visit about that, to explain why the scripture commands us to do these things. If you're looking for a church where you can participate, where you can belong, here we are. Churches all around us. The key is to pray and to consider and to ask God to lead you, to connect with that family where you don't just sit and wait, but where you lock arms with one another and march forward and serve. That's our invitation, not ours, his invitation to us. So I ask you to stand. Let us worship together.